Guys?
What?
I think we're lost.
No, don't say that.
I really don't know where we are. I think we lost the signal.
I thought that the thing that you had, it worked. What happened?
No, I don't know.
No, don't say that.
Please.
What was that noise?
Oh, if you're listening to this, please tune into WONY 90.9 FM.
Oh my God!
Please. No!
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because I had to get my tooth fixed. So I only have $10 in my checking account. But it will be okay. I at least have food because of this pantry. Millions of people face hunger. Some every day, just like Donna. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. On Monday, September 15th, join the Activities Council for Club Feud, happening from 9 to 10:30 p.m. in the Hunt Union Ballroom. On Tuesday, head down to the Red Dragon Theater for some Trivia Tuesday, happening from 9 to 10 p.m. On Wednesday, join the Student Fashion Society for their first general body meeting, happening from 7 to 8:15 p.m. in IRC 1. Also happening on Wednesday is another round of Club Feud. Head on down to the ballroom from 9 to 10:30 p.m. On Thursday, join the Office of Equity and Inclusion for a film screening of American Agitators, happening from 6 to 9 p.m. in the Great Room in Lee Hall. On Friday, be sure to join Activities Council for their general body meeting, happening from 3 to 4 p.m. in Hunt Union in the Leather Stock Room. On Friday, join Faculty Opportunities for a Friday social hour at the Muddy River, happening from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. for faculty at the Muddy River Tap Room in Oneonta. On Saturday, join the Activities Council for their show of Saturday Soundscape, Selena, the Last Concert, live from the Astrodome, happening from 8 to 9 p.m. in the Red Dragon Theater. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Have a great week, and be sure to keep it locked.
How y'all doing out there? DJ Nas from Mark 2. DJ Nas from Mark 2. DJ Nas from Mark 2. Coming in live. What's in your pocket? We are Wednesday, hump day, boop, September 17th, my favorite day of the week, and this is show number 51 for me, which is awesome. We're going to continue on with our listening to the Orson Welles reading of War of the Worlds. That was first released in 1938 on October 30th at 8 p.m. Here we go with part three. This is about 14 minutes, so keep it locked. Don't get too scared out there.
We've run special wires to the artillery line and adjacent villages to give you direct reports in the zone of the advancing enemy. First, we take you to the battery of the 22nd Field Artillery, located in the Watching Mountains.
Range 32 meters.
32 meters.
Projection 39 degrees.
39 degrees.
Fire!
...140 yards to the right, sir.
Ship range 31 meters.
31 meters.
Projection 37 degrees.
37 degrees.
Fire.
Hit, sir.
Got
the tripod of one of them. They're stopped. The others are trying to repair it.
Quick, get the range. Shift 50, 30 meters.
30 meters?
Projection 27 degrees.
27 degrees?
Fire!
Can't see the shell answer. Letting off a smoke.
What is it?
Black smoke, sir. Moving this way. Lying close to the ground. Moving fast.
Put on gas masks. Get ready to fire. Shift to 24 meters.
24 meters.
Projection 24 degrees.
24 degrees.
Fire.
Still can't see, sir. Smoke's coming nearer.
Get the range. 23 meters.
23 meters.
Army bombing plane V-843 off Bayonne, New Jersey. Lieutenant Bolt commanding 8 bombers, reporting to Commander Fairfax Langham Field. This is Bolt reporting to Commander Fairfax, Langham Field. Enemy tripod machines now in sight. Reinforced by 3 machines from the Morristown cylinder. 6 altogether. 1 machine partially crippled. Believed hit by shell from Army gun in Wachung Mountains. Guns now appear silent. A heavy black fog hanging close to the earth of extreme density, nature unknown. No sign of heat ray. Enemy now turns east, crossing Passaic River into the Jersey Marshes. Another straddles the Pulaski Skyway. Evident objective is New York City. They're pushing down a high-tension power station. The machines are close together now, and we're ready to attack. Planes circling, ready to strike. A 1,000 yards, and we'll be over the first. Yards. 600. 400. 200. There they go. The giant arm raised. Green flash. Spraying us with flame. 2,000 feet. Engines are giving out. No chance to release bombs. Only one thing left. Drop on them, plane and all. We're diving on the first one. Now the engine's gone. 8. This is Bayonne, New Jersey, calling Langham Field. Bayonne, New Jersey, calling Langham Field. Come in, please.
This is Langham Field. Go ahead.
8 Army bombers in engagement with enemy tripod machines over Jersey Flats. Engines incapacitated by heat ray. All crashed. 1 enemy machine destroyed. Enemy now discharging heavy black smoke in direction of...
This is Newark, New Jersey. Warning. Poisonous black smoke pouring in from Jersey Marshes. Reaches South Street. Gas masks useless. Urge population to move into open spaces. Automobiles use routes 7, 23, 24. Avoid congested areas. Smoke now spreading over Raymond Boulevard.
Calling 8X3R. Come in, please.
This is 8X3R coming back at 2X2L.
How's reception? K, please. Where are you, 8X3R? What's the matter? Where are you?
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking from the roof of Broadcasting Building. I'm speaking from the roof of Broadcasting Building, New York City. The bells you hear are ringing to warn the people to evacuate the city as Martians approach. Estimated in the last 2 hours, 3 million people have moved out along the roads to the north. Hutchinson River Parkway still kept open for motor traffic. Avoid bridges to Long Island, hopelessly jammed. All communication with Jersey Shore closed 10 minutes ago. No more defenses. Our army is wiped out. Artillery, Air Force, everything wiped out. This may be the last broadcast. We'll stay here to the end. People are holding service here below us in the cathedral. Now I look down the harbor, all manner of boats, overloaded with fleeing population, pulling out from docks. Streets are all jammed. Noise and crowds like New Year's Eve in city. Wait a minute. The enemy is now in sight above the Palisades. Five great machines. First one is crossing the river. I can see it from here, wading the Hudson like a man wading through a brook. A bulletin is handed me. Martian cylinders are falling all over the country. One outside of Buffalo, one in Chicago, St. Louis. Seem to be timed and spaced. Now the first machine reaches the shore. He stands watching, looking over the city. Steel cowlish head is even with the skyscrapers. He waits for the others. They rise like a line of new towers on the city's west side. Now they're lifting their metal hands. This is the end now. Smoke comes out, black smoke drifting over the city. People in the streets see it now. They're running toward the East River, thousands of them, dropping in like rats. Now the smoke's spreading faster. It's reached Times Square. People are trying to run away from it, but it's no use. They're falling like flies. Now the smoke's crossing 6th Avenue. 5th Avenue. 100 yards away. It's 50 feet.
Listening to a CBS presentation of Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the Air in an original dramatization of The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. The performance will continue after a brief intermission. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, starring Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the Air.
As I set down these notes on paper, I'm obsessed by the thought that I may be the last living man on Earth. I've been hiding in this empty house near Grover's Mill, a small island of daylight cut off by the black smoke from the rest of the world. All that happened before the arrival of these monstrous creatures in the world now seems part of another life. A life that has no continuity with the present. Furtive existence of the lonely derelict who pencils these words on the back of some astronomical notes bearing the signature of Richard Pearson. I look down at my blackened hand and I try to connect them with a professor who lives at Princeton and who on the night of October 20th glimpsed through his telescope an orange splash of light on a distant planet. My wife, my colleagues, my students, my books, my observatory, my world. Where are they? Did they ever exist? Am I Richard Pearson? What day is it? Do days exist without calendars? Does time pass when there are no human hands left to wind the clocks? Writing down my daily life, I tell myself I shall preserve human history between the dark covers of this little book that was meant to record the movements of the stars. But to write, I must live, and to live, I must eat. Find moldy bread in the kitchen and an orange not too spoiled to swallow. Keep watch at the window. Time to time, I catch sight of a Martian above the black smoke. The smoke still holds the house in its black coil, but at length there's a hissing sound, and suddenly I see a Martian mounted on his machine, spraying the air with a jet of steam as if to dissipate the smoke. I watch in a corner as his huge metal legs nearly brush against the house. Exhausted by terror, I fall asleep. Morning. Sun streams in the window. A black cloud of gas is lifted, and the scorched meadows to the north look as though a black snowstorm had passed over them. I venture from the house. I make my way to a road, no traffic. Here and there, a wrecked car, baggage overturned, a blackened skeleton. Push on north. For some reason, I feel safer trailing these monsters than running away from them. And I keep a careful watch. I've seen the Martians feed. Should one of their machines appear over the top of trees, I'm ready to fling myself flat on the earth. I come to a chestnut tree. October. Chestnuts are ripe. Fill my pockets. I must keep it alive.
Magnus in the house. DJ Nuss for Mark II. What's in your pocket, pocket, pocket? Which one are you on? See if he's coming through.
What's in your pocket?
He's coming through. We're just
I'm right here.
We're screwing around up here looking at all the space that we can use up here. A lot of space that we can use. That is correct. It is Wednesday 17th.
What is it? Yeah, it's the
17th. Everybody's favorite day. It's hump day. Everyone.
8:23 in the morning.
It's the craziest thing because you never see students here, especially somebody like Magnus.
So what do you mean somebody like me?
It's early in the morning.
You're playing Helmet at 8:30 in the morning.
That's
right.
Get
out of here. What's next?
So what is coming up next? So we got a couple things. Let me just make some announcements first. We started off with the Orson Welles Part 3 reading of The War of the Worlds.
Incredible.
That's right. And the Milk Toast by Helmet off the album Betty, which was, I think, my favorite album by them. Tomorrow at 8:30, we have Cassandra Miller coming in with her report from a paper, online paper kind of resource she does called The Townie. She's going to be telling us about everything going on at Oneon in New York. And then at 9 p.m., I'm extending the show because nobody else has a show here. And Allison Collins, a good friend of mine, Hartwick grad, and an amazing poet is going to come and read some of her sultry poetry on here, and we're going to talk about it. It's going to be awesome.
And that's happening at 9 p.m. tomorrow?
9 a.m.
9 a.m. Oh, so you're doing a two-hour show.
That's right. Okay. Only because nobody else is going to be here.
Yeah.
Because nobody wakes up this
morning. Yeah, usually the morning shows are a little...
That's right.
And we fought for 24 hours, and nobody uses it, you know?
You know, years ago they did. It was crazy back in the late 90s. Like, people would just be, like, doing shows at 3 in the morning all the time, but...
Yeah. I used to do shows late. Or, like, when Radiothon happens, I would get a really late slot on purpose just because I'd like it. But late-night radio is not the best thing, you know what I mean? Like, or my dad used to have a show from 11 p.m. to 6 in the morning.
Yeah, that's
in the 80s. And it was, like, all punk rock stuff.
Yeah, but people would listen.
And people would listen, you know?
People would be up.
It's like nobody is up anymore.
And then after that, tomorrow, I'm actually taking off from work and I'm driving down to New York City. I'm going to see Wet Leg at the... Wet Leg at the Paramount in Brooklyn, which if you haven't
been... The Brooklyn Paramount's an incredible venue.
It's an incredible venue. Jeff Rosenstock just played there, and if you know him or not, but his bass player, John DiDomenici, actually went to school here and was in a band with me for a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah, a band that wasn't called The Swindlers years and years and years ago. But we're going to jam out some Foxy Lady right now, followed by a little bit of Mahavishnu. I'll figure out what Mahavishnu we're playing when I get there. But here you go, Foxy, Foxy, Foxy.
Foxy Lady. Aura. Lady.
lady. Here I come, baby. I'm coming to get you.
Played a bunch of Mahavishnu right there from Birds of Fire. Such a good album. I actually played a little bit of a three thing there going on. Celestial, Terrestrial, Commuters, Sapphire, Bullets of Pure Love, Thousand Island Park. Did a little segue going in between those there. Yeah, once again, Wednesday, hump day. Nice to have Magnus stop in here and say hi. He was doing some work here in the studio. And next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, so this would be the 23rd of September down here, I believe from like 6 to 8, they're going to have a vinyl CD swap going on, so you can bring some of your albums down, trade them with some friends, CDs, trade them. You could also just come down and check out the studio and see what albums we have here, and we're also going to do some demos on how to use the equipment here. So if you are a DJ and want to use the record players and so forth, you can. So that's next Tuesday, September 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. Vinyl CD swap here at WONY 90.9 FM in the basement of Hunt Union. Keeping it locked, yo, yo, yo. DJ Nosfer Mark II. Want to hear some Green Day? Some people say yes. Some people say no. This is off of Dookie.
Accidents will happen.
Little Cripple Creek there, Leo Kottke from his album Mudlark. Trying to look right here and see what year this was. 1971. Pretty amazing. Leo, well, ridiculous guitar player, totally amazing. It's funny, I played him because he, I guess, opened up for Mahavishnu sometime around that time, maybe 1970 or so, and I believe I had some friends who were telling me stories of him playing at Madison Square Garden, opening up, like playing in Madison Square Garden with just an acoustic guitar, running to the giant PA system, opening up for Mahavishnu in like 1970, which is just insane. Anyways, amazing, amazing, amazing guitarist. Gonna play some John Lennon for you. I he's my third or fourth favorite Beatle. Ringo and Harrison are my two favorites, and then McCartney and Lennon. They both are awesome. They're both kind of at the same time. Just the feud thing drives me nuts. But brilliant people, amazing songwriters, need to get out of their own heads. Needed to. Anyways, here we go. The Ballad of John Yoko.
Considered him the coward of the county. He'd never stood one single time to prove the county wrong. His mama named him Tommy, but folks just called him Yellow. But something always told me they were reading Tommy wrong. was only 10 years old when his daddy died in prison. I looked after Tommy, 'cause he was my brother's son. I still recall the final words my brother said to Tommy. Son, my life is over, but yours has just begun. Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone. Tommy's love was Becky. In her arms, he didn't have to prove he was a man. One day while he was working, the Gatlin boys came calling. They took turns at Becky, and there was three of them. Tommy opened up the door and saw his Becky crying. Torn dress, the shattered look was more than he could stand. He reached above the fireplace and took down his daddy's picture. As his tears fell on his daddy's face, he heard these words again. Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. The Gatlin boys just laughed at him when he walked into the bar room. One of them got up and met him halfway across the floor. When Tommy turned around, they said, hey, look, old Yellow's leaving. But you could have heard a pin drop when Tommy stopped and locked the door. 20 years of crawling was bottled up inside him. He wasn't holding nothing back. He let him have it all. When Tommy left the barroom, not a Gatlin boy was standing. He said, this one's for Becky, as he watched the last one fall. And I heard him say, I promised your dad not to do the things you've done. I'll walk away from trouble when I can. Now please don't think I'm weak. I didn't turn the other cheek. And Papa, I sure hope you understand. Sometimes you gotta fight when you're a man. Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
Some Kenny, good old Kenny. I have fond memories of listening to Kenny Rogers when I was a youngster. Folks playing that stuff a lot. Anyways, I got one more song for you before I'm tuning out here. Tomorrow, once again, got some cool guests coming on at 8:30 tomorrow. Cassandra Miller will be coming and telling us what's going on. She's also known as the Townie. Knows all the what's to do's happening in the great city of Oneonta, New York. And then at 9 o'clock, Allison Collins, an amazing poet and a Hartwick grad, is going to come in and read some of her poetry. We're going to talk about it and so forth. And also part four, starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, part four and the final section of the live broadcast, 1938, War of the Worlds, read by Orson Welles. So I'm going to leave you with some Dead Kennedys, and I'll see you tomorrow. 99.9 FM, Wony, home of Red Dragon Radio, basement of Hunt Union. What's in your pocket? This is DJ Nas from Martu, keeping it locked.
California, from around the state. Natural, you will draw for the master race and always wear the happy face. Close your eyes, can't happen here. Paper on white horses here. The hippies won't come back, you say. Mellow out or you will pay. Mellow out or you will pay. California, over Alice.
The music that you'll be listening to on WONY 90.9 FM is music that will make your body rock. Make sure to tune in.
Hey man, you seen that bear go by here?
A bear?
Yeah man, he had on a Ranger's hat.
A bear with a Ranger's hat? Aw, come on man.
Yeah man, he had a shovel in his hand too.
Oh, did he have a picnic basket too?
No, man, not that bear. You know, like the bear that checks out the forest, man.
Well, what's he checking out, man?
Well, like he's checking out for careless people, man, who start fires in the forest.
Well, that sounds real heavy, man.
Hey, well, it is. You know, like every year some dude forgets to put out his campfire.